this is a very prophetic series. Matter of fact, I'm going to teach you something I've been learning over the last several months with Donna. Did you know there's studies that say 26 to 30, 32, but guy that I really, really like, Skip Isaac, he says 26% of all the scripture is prophetic. Write that down. 26% of the scriptures that we have are prophetic. So this is really a prophecy series that I'm doing, Signs of the Times. People are so interested. I've been thinking about this for a long time. I've touched the seven churches and parts of Revelations over the year, but I'm going to do pretty super in-depth studies, so I want you to be ready. And if you looked at your notes, man, PK, you didn't give me 5 points. PK, you didn't give me no blanks to fill in. I know, but did you have a pen? And if you don't have a pen, take the pen from the person next to you. No, don't do that. But I want you to bring pens. I want you to bring notebook. I want you to be ready to write. I'm just going to probably be listing some scriptures. I'm going to give you a lot more scripture, and we're going to get after it. The church said, amen. Okay, so here we go. I'm going to give you my best shot, because I think there's so much that scripture sets us up for as we get ready for this. Listen to Mark 13, 35, and 36. The Old Living Bible, I remember when I first became a Christian, that was a copy of the scriptures I had. My mom had sent it away to university with me. But listen to this verse. Keep a sharp lookout, for you do not know when I will come. Watch for my return. You know, I'm always telling y'all, keep one eye looking up to the clouds, because we never know for the return of Christ when he'll come, when it'll be time for the rapture. He's coming back again. And there was a great preacher, a lot of great preachers, but Dwight L., we call him D.L. Moody. He says, I never preached a sermon without thinking that possibly the Lord may come before I preach another. Or he could come before I finish this message. You're going, oh, please, Pastor, finish that message before he comes back. Or Dr. G. Campbell Morgan said it this way. He was this great British clergy guy. He says, I never begin my work in the morning without thinking that perhaps he may interrupt my work, begin his own. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for him. Isn't that a great line? Yeah. Who are you looking for today? Say, looking for my grandkid. Okay. I'm looking for my kids. That's great. You want to look for them. You don't want to go home without them. Have you ever left your kids anywhere? On purpose? I mean, not on purpose. Yeah, you know, sometimes you do that. Or you don't want to leave here without Jesus. So the whole series is about the second coming, and it's about prophetic events. We'll talk about signs of the age. We'll talk about Hamas. I'm going to talk into all kind of things. So, man, I just want you to be ready. I've been studying. I'll continue to study. But what I want us to think about is our constant anticipation that the Lord will come again. See, in this day and age we live, so many people have gotten away from this. And believe it or not, my wife really she pushed me this way. She's been talking about it to me for months. And you're not going to believe where she has found and we have found, although I've ministered a lot in that state, and a lot of times we criticize them. But do y'all know where some of the most prophetic movements of 2023 and 2024 are, and that have some of the greatest teaching in all of Christianity? You're not going to believe this. California. They come out of the state of California. Yeah. There are the most amazing churches and pastors that we know of, that we follow, that are incredibly biblical, that are full of conviction, that are full of compassion and passion, and they're preaching so many of these prophetic messages. And here's the other thing we've seen. Their churches are filled to overflowing capacity on Wednesday night. And on the weekends, they have so many services. And we can criticize somebody else, but let me tell you, that is not happening in the southeastern United States in the Bible Belt. And we're not preaching these end-time messages. Forgive me, I've not really done enough of that. And then when I really realize that 26% of Scripture is about prophetic, I better get my act together. I better get a little better, so I better be preaching more of this to you. And even in, I listen and watch and read so much, but even in devotional, I do this one because I have the Billy Graham archive. And listen to this. It just happened to me. Linda talked about a coincidence. How many believe in coincidence? I believe that God ordains, you know, he directs. God winks. Isn't that what Kathy Gifford says? There it is. He goes, we need to live in a way that Christ is coming. But listen to this. This was great. It says, we live in constant anticipation. If we could live every day as though it may be the very last one before the final judgment, what a difference it would make here on earth. But we don't like to think that way. We don't like to think that our carefully made plans, our long-range schemes, may be interrupted by the trumpet of God. Let me stop there. How many of you sometimes get irritated when you get interrupted? Somebody interrupts you and you're watching a program, you're doing something, you got something else going, and somebody interrupts you, unless it's your grandkid. Doesn't matter what you're doing. If your grandkid interrupts you, it's fine. If your kid or your spouse interrupts you, you got words. Okay. So, our long-range schemes might be interrupted. Two people would rather say, oh well, the end of the world hasn't come yet, so why think about it? It's probably 1,000 years away. Well, I believe I'm not going to predict because Jesus said he didn't know the Father had revealed it. When it's time, it's time. But I've got to get you ready to be looking at the prophetic calendar because I think the calendar has really stepped up. How about you? Yes. You know, Israel only became a nation 50-something years ago, and the whole war of Hamas, and you look at all the skirmishes in Europe, and you look across the world and what's going on, and you think, and I know some of you think, I know, Pastor, how are you talking about? I know the Antichrist is already here. I don't think he is. I think the spirit of the Antichrist is all over the world. How many believe that? The scripture talks about that. Some people say, when Clinton was in office, the Antichrist was there. No, it was Donald Trump. No, it must be Joe Biden. Somebody said, no, look, Joe Biden, he didn't have enough energy. Somebody said, well, it must be someone. No, I don't believe that the Antichrist is on leash yet. I think he might rise up out of European nations. I don't know. I've done a lot of study on this. And I'm not going to try to tell you today who I... If somebody tells you, Pastor, I know who the Antichrist is, run. They don't. But one day he'll come. But the spirit of the Antichrist, 1 John said, has been unleashed in the world. So, you know what we have? We have the promises of Scripture. How many are grateful for the promises of Scripture? You need to read them, need to be acquainted, you need to study. You need to do study on your own. You need to be here in these series. You need to listen to podcasts. You need to try to stay with it because I'm going to try to give you my best. Listen to Luke, write down Luke 21:36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. All through Scripture you see those words, watch, be warned, reflect, pray, be aware, look, anticipate for the coming of Christ. And some people say, Pastor, I don't like to talk about this. It's so scary. Well, parts of it can kind of seem scary. But you know what? When we rest in Christ, we have no fear to be afraid. Amen? The Lord is with us. When Linda was sitting up there and hurting and in pain, and her body, and she had not shared that thought with me, and she thought she'd never play again, look what our Heavenly Father, Daddy God, did for Linda. He sent her a concert pianist. Who does that? God. He loves his child. And this morning, I got to tell you, I can almost start crying out myself. I've been missing this so much. I've been tired of downloading and looking at videos and trying to keep it up and do these services. Like, Lord, no. And then when Linda says, we're coming back the first of the year. Hallelujah. You probably heard me in my house. And then this morning, and we got here, Chris, I don't know who Chris is, he used to be here. When Pat goes, I can't play the drums today because they've taken the drums apart. Imagine them doing anything here, destructive. And he goes, I can't play. And I went, remember that show? What you talking about, Willis? I thought, we're going to play some drums somewhere. And Pat found the parts, put it together. Hop, man, you know what? I was just ready. If Linda had felt good, I would have just told her to keep playing this morning. But I've been working on this prophetic series, so I figured I better get after it. Okay. All right, so here we go. We watch for the fulfillment of prophecy, okay? And so Jesus told his followers to watch, to pray. Here be a thought. He said, maintain spiritual readiness at all times. That's what I want the table to do. Let's maintain our readiness to be ready if Christ decides to show up this afternoon during lunch, during your nap, if he shows up during the service, if he shows up next Tuesday, if he shows up next week, next year, because I believe we're living in a depraved, deceived, delusional, demonic time. Do y'all agree with me? It's very dark, very dismal. You're like, Pastor, can you come up with another D? You just don't know. Donna knows. I can alliterate. My brain works that way. I just pull all these words out, you know. But when I look at people, sometimes I think they're delusional. Turn to the person next to you and go, I don't think you're delusional. And be honest, you don't think you're in a delusion. But how many of you think you've been with some delusional people this past week? Yeah. How many of you told them? Yeah, okay. Not a good idea to do that. Okay. So, and here's the other thing. When I talk about the signs of the end times, we live in this cacophony of 24/7 news. Let me tell you, sometimes you need to turn the news off, church. You can just watch so much. And I told you, I really limit. I watch very little news now compared to what I used to. I thought I had to read my Bible all the time, which I do. And I thought I had to watch a lot of news. And now I'm watching less news. But I don't want to be ignorant because I do want to be aware of what's going on. But you got to kind of watch your sources. Did y'all know some of them have slants and biases? Did y'all know certain stations have biases?
Oh, yeah, they look a lot.
Yeah, they look a lot. You know what they call it? Fake news. How many of you like that fake news stuff we get? Fake news. I'm giving y'all the real news. I'm going to give you the truth. I'm going to give you the good news. Okay, I thought that was pretty good. All right, so here's some things to watch in prophecy. Just write some of these. I don't know where you're going to put it. I told you to bring a journal. Next week, bring one. Look at, your name will be Susan. Susan, you got journal, notebook, good. May your tribe increase. Okay. All right, here he goes. Number one, focus on what is true. Too many news and opinion outlets slant their coverage. They mess us up. And sometimes they give you partial truth. And if you don't go to the truth, being the Word of God, or to the embodiment of the truth, being the Lord Jesus, you'll get in trouble. Then, secondly, focus on the areas that the Bible focuses on. And here they are. Prophetic trends focus on, number one, the Middle East. When you hear and read and see about the Middle East, pay attention. Pay attention. Now, there are a lot of teachers and preachers, and they're a lot smarter than I am, but then a lot of them are wrong too, and then a lot of them give such great truth, and we want to have the discernment, and we have discernment because we have the Holy Spirit, the church said. But we want to pay attention to the Middle East, the abomination, desolation, end time union, 10 nations. Here's another thing. You want to pay attention to the Middle East, you want to pay attention to Europe. You want to watch when Europe is on there, and we talk about one world government, we talk about one money and world currency and all that, and let me ask you this. Do y'all not believe we're getting a lot closer to that than we're trying to get to one world currency?
Yes.
Yeah. You see, I'm old school. We've already brought that to attention that I'm old. And Don and I still like cash. I mean, we do. We just like cash. And when I travel, places won't take my cash. And I get irritated. Airports, they don't take cash because they don't have any smart enough to work behind the register. And you go places. I went to Taco Bell that day, and I promise you, Pastor almost had a conniption. I couldn't even get an order. I had to go over to the kiosk, and the kiosk didn't want my cash, and you had to have a card. I said, I want to pay cash. They go, well, you can't have cash. I said, the heck? I went around, drove the drop, didn't take cash. But I'm telling you, are you not watching more and more places you go, people won't take cash. And so you really see how this one currency, it's coming down the pot. You're like, well, Pastor, you talked about that. Here, hey, in the end times, watch the threats of human existence. You know the end is near. Are people not in the world trying to exterminate the world, humanity, take it out? Here's a good one. Here's a prophetic outlook. Moral decline. Has anybody seen any decline in morality?
Yeah.
It's at an all-time high.
Yeah.
And it's going off the cliff. So Lord, help us to look at the continual downward slide into moral confusion. And Jesus said, hey, look for those signs. Look. I heard this story. I love this. It says the pastor was standing by, and this guy, he takes off flying down the road, and he saw this sign, and he just looked at it real quick. It says, the end is near. Turn around. And that pastor said, forget it. And he just pressed the pedal to the metal and took off. And all of a sudden, the road was out. And he wished the sign would just said, hey, bridge is out. Okay. And you know what? And when I talk about the end is near, people are like, man, you're being prophetic. You read Revelation, man. You got, Pastor, you get back onto the fruit of the Spirit. I love the fruit of the Spirit. I love preaching the whole counsel of God. But I want to tell you, the end is nearer than it's ever been. The end is lining up. And prophetically, it could be today. And I want you to be ready, table. Amen? Because I want all y'all to have a seat at the table. At his table, at the Lamb's banquet. That's the table you don't want to miss. I love telling people about that, and they look at me like I'm crazy. All right. Is Matthew 24, is it going to come up? Is it 6 through 8? No? I don't think I put it on there. I think I told myself to. But you know what? I didn't even mark it, but we're going to get there real quick. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to do a whole thing on Matthew 24, but not today. I'm flipping to the Old Testament. I'm never going to find it in there. I was like, you know, I used to know where Matthew was. All right, here we go. Matthew 24. And I got a new Bible, so there, the pages are sticking together. Don't think, our pastor, he don't read the Bible, but it ain't sticking. No, hold on. All right, here, 6, right? 24. That was funny. Okay. And you will hear of wars and threats of wars, but don't panic. Yes, these things must take place by the end, but the end won't follow immediately. Nation will go to war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in many parts of the world. But all this is only the first of the birth pains with more to come. Do y'all feel like we possibly live in a day like that? Nation against nation, famine, pestilence, challenges. They're just unbelievable what's happening in the last days. So here, I want you to see this. Here's the good news that we have. We're not left in all this alone, as I preached through this for weeks. God is with us. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But God in Scripture, although you do not see this word, so I want to go ahead and give it to you. This word is not in the Bible. But neither is the word Trinity, and neither is the word Bible. But we adhere to those concepts. The word rapture is not in there. But in the Greek, and when you dig into it, but it is so implied, and the church said, amen, there will be a rapture. Some people are like, I don't believe in the rapture. Then I ain't got nothing for you. Because there is a rapture. Now, here's a great way to split the church, and I'm not going to do this. There's positions of the rapture, which I'll talk about, but I'll just touch on right. It's pre, mid, and post. And my friend Gary Hunley, that used to preach for me, that Greek scholar that worked at Faith Radio, that used to pastor a church, and he's in heaven today, he came to me one day and said, Pastor, there's a fourth. I was like, fourth? We didn't say that. Somebody said, give it to me. He goes, pan. I said, pan. He goes, it all pans out in the end. I said, oh, pan theology. But here's what I am. I am a pre-trib preacher. I believe that we get out of here in the rapture before the tribulation. You're like, Pastor, I don't want to believe that. I want to go through it. Then you just have at it, okay? After chapter 3 in Revelation, you never see the church mentioned again. So, and some people are like, Pastor, I'm sending you a statement paper. I'm writing a 20. We had this guy who used to go to our church. And he would send me papers when he didn't like something I preached. Hey, I got a volume, and I wanted to send it to you because I wanted to talk with you about your eschatology deficit. I said, first of all, I don't know what eschatology is. Aren't you impressed? And why don't you go find another church? I'm tired of reading your papers, okay? This is whatever. So anyway, so the church gets raptured. And then look right here. Here, I put it right here on the front side. 1 Thessalonians, Apostle Paul, 5, 6 through 11. And then, look, I just want to read it to you. I want you to, when people listen to this podcast, I want them to hear the word, and the word can make them study. The word will make them feel convicted. The word will make them change. It says this, now concerning how and when all this will happen, dear brothers and sisters, we don't really need to write you, for you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. Now let's stop right there. How many of you know when a thief is going to show up at your house? Are you waiting up for him so you can have the gun all zeroed in on when they come in the window? You don't know when a thief's coming. Verse 3. When people are saying everything is peaceful and secure, then disaster will fall on them as suddenly as pregnant women's labor pains begin, and y'all know about that, and there will be no escape. I gotta tell you, a woman that's pregnant, great with child, she does not escape. She wants to escape. And I've seen that before. Women do crazy things when they're pregnant with child and they're great with pain. They say things to you. They grab you. Right. But you aren't in the dark about these things, dear brothers and sisters, verse 4. And you won't be surprised when the day of the Lord comes like a thief. For you are all children of the light and of the day. And we don't belong to the darkness and to the night. So be, here it is, circle it. So be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert and clear-headed. One translation says, stay awake and sober-minded. That means don't be drunk. I mean, it does imply that, but it means sober. It means full faculty, fully alert, fully attentive. Lord Jesus, how many of you want to pray, Lord Jesus, help me be attentive to the times that we live? And I want to be ready for when you come again. How many of you are already enjoying this series? It's exciting, isn't it? And it's like, yeah, and we're just, man, I'm just getting started. I mean, we've got lunch coming in. Don't worry, we're having seminars here. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:1. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. How many agree with that? There will be. Mark 13:33-37. Be on your guard. Be alert. You don't know when the time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house. He puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned task. And he tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, verse 35, keep watch. See how he keeps saying it? Be on your guard. Be alert. Keep watch. Keep watch because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Just write down the word watch and draw a box around it. Watch. You always want to be watching for the coming of the King. You want to be watching the times. You want to be informed. And we want to know our Bibles and we want to study them. And I'm looking around. I've never seen so many of y'all so attentive in your writing. And some of you are going to bring big theology books in here next week and Bibles and stuff. I love it. And the church said, yes. When Don and I watch some of these people, and Jack Kibbs is a great guy, and on and on. It's amazing. You look at their congregation, it reminds me of my first 25 years, 30 years of ministry. Everybody brought Bibles and big, big Bibles. And they had them open. You could hear all the pages move. It was awesome. And now, a lot of people are like, man, what? I don't know, man. I think you got Tourette's or something. I don't know what you're doing. You need a Bible. And the church said, yes, bring your Bible. He said, Pastor, I got my iPad. Okay, that'll work as long as I come back in there and you're not working on your grocery list or doing something else. As long as you're in the Word of God. I understand. Look at my notes. I like this. I'm old. I'm senior citizen now. It backlights. I can read. It's amazing. This is so much better than notebook and paper. You know, somebody said, yeah, you stay a lot more attentive too. Yeah. So here's what the Word says. Stay awake, stay sober. So we wait for Jesus. We wait for His coming. We don't go asleep. You know, I'm going to talk about Gog and Magog and all that. Ezekiel 37 and 38. You might want to be studying that ahead of time. That'll come in future weeks. Do y'all remember in October? Remember what happened in October? Big headline. Israel is at war. And so many people were concerned, like, man, is Christ coming next week? Does he come today? Could have. And all the craziness going over there, you know, since they've become a nation and the rockets being launched and raining all over Israel and ISIS-like methods with the Hamas and, man, wicked atrocities. Oh, my, targeting young women, young children, launching massive indiscriminate rocket fire towards civilian population centers, going to the Gaza Strip, and we continue to watch it. And here we are, several months into this thing, tens of thousands of lives have been lost, and you're just saying, man, there is havoc in the Middle East. How many of you have been praying for the Middle East since all that happened? I just taught you a few weeks before, I had no idea I was being so prophetic. I said, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's what God calls Christians to do. We pray. Do you know that little bitty place? I've been there. It's a little bitty village. It's the most important place on planet Earth. Jesus will come back there and touch down again. So, Lord, I want to be attentive. Do you know some of the people that have lost their lives and have been targeted, they were survivors of the Great Holocaust? And we get upset when we think about the Holocaust and what 6 million Jews that were exterminated. Have you ever been to the Holocaust Museum? Donna, was that in D.C. when we went there? Donna, I walked through there. It took our breath. You couldn't talk. The power of death and gloom and sin and depravity was so over the place. And you say, Lord, help us. So who is Hamas? Let me just write it down. It's a terrorist organization funded by no less than Iran. I'm not trying to be political, but I got to tell you, our own government, we pumped a ton of money into Iran. Wrong. Wicked. evil. I don't care if they were standing in front of me, I'd go, wrong, evil, repent. You don't fund the enemy, church. It always comes back to Jerusalem. You know, the end time events, did y'all know they're not going to end in San Francisco or Los Angeles or Moscow or Paris or Montgomery? They're going to end in Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of God. And one day the scripture gives us great hope. This is after tribulation and all this great stuff ends. One day, in this great Lenore, the new Jerusalem is going to come down and take over. How many look forward to saying, where do you live? New Jerusalem. Somebody say, Pastor, I want to live in old Jerusalem. No, you don't either. You want to live in the new Jerusalem. Matter of fact, did y'all know this year that they weren't able to have the ceremonies at Christmas for the first time in many, many years because of all the bombing and all the activity in the Holy Land? Wow, unbelievable. But I found this scripture I never found. Zechariah chapter 3 through 4. Zechariah 12, 3 through 4. Write it down. God says, I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. You were singing about honey in the rock. Here's the immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. We pray for Jerusalem. It's still okay. You pray for Jerusalem. But let me tell you something. Jerusalem has a great, mighty defender. He's everlasting God. You don't mess with Jerusalem, folks. You can mess with them. Matter of fact, right now, you look at their prime minister. You don't mess with that man. He's serious. If you don't believe me, just go read history and watch it. He's a man of action, okay? But let me tell you, there's somebody so much higher than him. It's the Lord God Almighty. And he will protect Israel. And it'll all work out in the end. But so have I convinced you by the days, the signs of the times, and the scriptures that we've read? How many believe the prophetic clock is clicking really fast right now? Yeah, we live in those days. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. You're like, wow. I know, Mason, y'all are sitting there looking at your young family going, well, we want them to be teenagers. No, you don't. I mean, teenagers are fun. How many of you want to tell Mason and Rebecca? No, you don't, honey. Just we love teenagers, but hey, the Lord coming back. You know, people used to always tell me, I want the Lord to come back, but Pastor. You know, Don and I, we were youth pastors forever, and kids come back, Pastor, can I be honest? I go, yeah. Can I tell you something? I say, yes. I don't want Jesus to come back before I get married. I just want to get married. You think Jesus let me get married? And you talk to adults, they go, I don't want Jesus to come back till we have kids. I don't want Jesus to come back till we buy that car. I don't want till we buy that house. I don't want Jesus to come back till we have grandkids. I don't want Jesus to come back till we have great grandkids. Oh no, I want a picture. I don't want Jesus to come back till we have great great grandkids. Oh well, so and so, she's older than me. I don't want Jesus to come back till we have great 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 grandkids. Well, do you ever want Jesus to come back? What does the end of the scripture say? Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. You know, it's done, and I love our grandkids immensely. But I don't like the world they're growing up in. But we and their parents and their great Christian school are training them to be young champions for Jesus Christ. And they will be a light like I pray your kids and your grandkids are and your kids that are here today. And we raise them up in the admonition of the Lord because we need light in the darkness. And it sounds like, Pastor, we just had Christmas. Quit talking about light in the darkness. Well, it is light. It is light. Okay. All right. So, man, God, I got so much. I'm just so fired up. I got this whole section. I'm going to have to admit it or I'll never get to this. Okay. Let's see. Here it is. I read 1 through 6. I did. Stay awake. I told you that one. All right. Let's look to the other side. Second Thessalonians 2:11. Y'all say Thessalonica with me. That's where this was written. Okay. You like that, guys. Okay. Here we go. All right. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false. Remember I told you about delusional people, deluding influence. God sends this in the last days. Delusional deception, if you will, okay? And we want to maintain spiritual readiness so we can address it, so we know when it comes, so we can know that God's our builder, that God's in charge here in this dark, sinister world. As I get into that verse, I just want you to know, Anytime somebody gets hung up on all these isms, we're in trouble. Do y'all know what I'm talking about? Like, let me give you one. Wokeism, is that good or bad? There ain't nothing good about it, okay? You get hung up in wokeism and things. How about this one? Marxism. Socialism. Yeah, all these, you get in all these isms, you're like, man, I mean, I need Jesus. The last song I did before we started today, it talked about Jesus being what? What was the last song? Look on the I need.
Always.
No, that was the last song we sang live with Linda. That was anointed. If I got Jesus, I knew I was going to come in. The guy sounds like Rascal Flatts. Yeah, if I got Jesus, that's, thank y'all. Here's one. Paganism. That's an ism that's good. No. Oh, here's one. This is when they go off to the global summit so they can get us direction for the world. Oh, yeah, that's where I'm taking my orders from. How about environmentalism? I got to tell you, you got to watch out. All these isms, they're starting to control the world. We need the Holy Scriptures to dictate our lives. Amen? And the Church of the Living Christ has somehow departed much from this word. And a lot of people don't know. They're not prepared and they're not ready for what God has for them. So, polytheism. You know what that is? That's just a study of many gods. We have a monotheistic God. That means there's one God. He's above all. And that's the one that we bow to. That's the one that we worship. So, Lord, many, you know, when you have many gods, you know what you have when you have many gods? Listen, you have many morality. And when you have many moralities, you know what you have? Chaos. And when you have chaos, you know what you have? Sin. And we don't need all that foolishness because we're people of the book. We love the word. We love the author of the word. So, Lord, we want to run to you. We want to, here it is. Here's what paganism does. And we see from the study of history, they always make child sacrifice. America became a perfect place for this. We call it abortion. And abortion's called murder. And it's never pleased the Father. And in a few weeks, we'll celebrate pro-life because we're a big pro-life church, and we'll stop and we'll pray for all the unborn and the moms. And sweet Melinda, she works at one of the finest pro-life ministries around, First Choice. And we support them. We support Life on Wheels. And with no apologies, I go, my God is pro-life. And I go, hallelujah. And your mama was pro-life, and I thank God for your mama. She had you. And you're God, man. And how many of you wish you could hug your mama right now and just give her a big hug? Man, I can't. That's why I want heaven, because I want to hug my mama. You know? I need her. All right, so here he is. So a sick culture we live in, deception everywhere, deluding influence. But look at this passage. Oh, my goodness. You know what the good news is? I'm a preacher. And if the Lord tarries, we're going to come back and pick this up. So, look at this. What is weak delusion? Strong when God sends it. And God, over in Romans 1, says he gives them over to their own lust, to their own sin. Just look at Romans 1. It's sad. And here in this period, people today are delusional. They're looking for tricks or whatever. I can't get into all that. All right, here we go. All I can say is, the Roman Empire was full of perversion. And I don't think we've changed very much. I just think we've taken a continual move down. Do y'all not think we're living in a society that's full of perversion? Yeah. But our God is full of hope and redemption and restoration and healing and hope and help for tomorrow. And I'm going to come back to all this. I just want to say this. I don't know how to address it. Here it is. Today, I got on this bandwagon. Did that quit? I thought it gave out. Is it still going? Okay. I feel like I learned early on in ministry, and I thought it was a good philosophy. I wanted to preach all the time about what Jesus was for. I thought that was good. I fell in love with Jesus, and I wanted to talk about what Jesus was for. And I did, and I spent a lot of decades doing that. And I would do the other, but not like I will today. But let me tell you, Jesus talked a lot about what he was against. And here's why I'm doing this series. Maybe I just got confident and mature enough. Maybe.
that I knew I needed to tell you what Jesus was against as much as I needed to tell you what Jesus was for. Jesus is for you. Jesus loves you. But Jesus is against sin. And there's damnation if we live in sin. And I've got to be telling the gentleman, so you'll hear me on my podcast, you'll hear me, man, our pastor, I don't know what's happened to him. He's got his prophetic clock kicked up. And some people probably in the next few years will go, Pastor, I don't know, man, you're kind of prophetic. Well, hallelujah. You're not? Because I'm going to keep telling y'all what Jesus is for, because I love preaching those. But I'm repenting publicly this morning. I got to tell y'all more and more about what Jesus is against as much as I tell you what he's for. Because you need to know the truth. And there are churches all across our land that have quit telling you what Jesus is against. So there's a generation that's gone to sleep. But I read something the other day that gave me hope. They said this Generation Z, that's these young people, that they want truth. They want the truth. So whatever God gives me in my years ahead, I'll keep telling you, I'll keep preaching positive messages. Man, who doesn't like to preach that? That's fun. But I got to tell you the other stuff too. Because in our day, there's a preacher, I'm not going to say his name, I followed him greatly. I read his books, went to his conferences, me and Don have been in his church. He seriously got unhitched and he seriously took some directions in me, and I think he got off the path. And I just wish some people would have gone to him and said, Pastor, 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 Pastor. We just got to wake up, church. We have a devourer, and he is subtle. And if he can get us just to get a little bit off the board, you know what happens if I start drifting just a little bit? Guess what happens in a year? Guess what happens in 10 years? I'm all the way over here. And everybody's just following me all the way over here. I want to keep pointing y'all to that cross as I always have. But I want to point you to the prophetic word of God. So you got to pray for me, man. I'm getting stretched. I'm getting pulled. But God is going to teach me. He's going to make me richer as a Christian. He's going to make me a better pastor. And some of you, man, we've been praying for that. We want a better pastor. I want to give you God's word with passion and with conviction, and it's not enough for me to give it to you on Sunday morning. You got to get there for yourself and go, Lord, what does this mean? I got to study, I got to read, I got to dig. Because one day, the skies will open. Okay. Well, I just got started. How many are intrigued this morning? How many gonna come back next week? Yeah. How many gonna bring? You know what? I wish we could just pack this place out before we leave. Go. Bye. Hey, because we're going to Dalarita. Hey, and let me say a prayer to you today. Lord, thank you for your goodness and grace. You are a mighty God, and you'll come again. Prepare our hearts. We're thankful for the promises in the scripture. Give us hope as we trust in Jesus.